Welcome to Patriots Nation. It's Pat Ryan. Hope you guys had a great day. Hope you guys had a great weekend. Starting off with the news from the last 2 weeks, actually. The rapper P. Diddy has been being raided and searched for. A ship crashed into a major Baltimore bridge. And then we're going to talk about my gas price analysis for the month of March. So stay tuned and enjoy, guys. Big episode. Oh God, you have rejected us. You have broken us. You have been angry. Oh, restore us. You have made the land quake. You have split it open. Heal its branches, for it totters. You have made your people experience hardship. You have given us wine to drink that makes us stagger. You have given a banner to those who fear you, that it may be displayed because of the truth, Selah. That your beloved may be delivered. Save us with your right hand and answer us. God has spoken in his holiness. I will exult. I will portion out Shechem and measure out the valley of Shekhoth. Gilead is mine and Manasseh is mine. And Ephraim also is the helmet of my head. Judah is my scepter. Moab is my washbowl. Over Edom I shall throw my shoe. Shout aloud, O Philistia, because of me. Who will bring me into the besieged city? Who will lead me to Edom? Have not you yourself, O God, rejected us? And will you not go forth with our armies, O God? O give us help against the adversary, for deliverance by man is in vain. Through God we shall do valiantly, and it is he who will tread down our adversaries. This is Psalm 60, lament over defeat in battle and prayer for help. For the choir director, according to Shuthan Iduth, Miktan of David, to teach when he struggled with Aram Naharaim and with Aram Zobah and Joab returned and smote 12,000 of Edom in the Valley of Salt. Yes, that's just a bunch of backstory into when this psalm was actually written and why it was written. But yes, I think this is an important psalm to understand because God gives and God takes away. And many times takeaway, it's not always judgment, but a lot of times, especially when it's against a whole of a nation, it is absolutely judgment against that nation. And we are absolutely seeing that judgment to this day in everything. Every week, the news cycle is absolutely crazy, and there is more judgment from God in the land. And guess what? We deserve every bit of it. But even amidst that, we should praise God, those who are believers, because he will protect us. Maybe not physically. We may suffer. We may die. But spiritually, will protect us. We are secure in his arms. And we must continue to call to repentance and preach the gospel to those who are not believers. That is our mission on this earth. And that's what we must do now, especially as we are continuing to face this massive judgment from God upon America. And again, remembering that we absolutely deserve it, but yet we should still carry out the Great Commission and still praise and honor God because he is just. His blessing on a nation is just, and his judgment against a nation is just. But this is episode 209 of Patriots Nation, and the podcast is still available on all the normal platforms, Spotify, Beyond Pod, CastBox, Deezer, iHeartRadio, SoundCloud, TuneIn, iTunes, Amazon Music, Player FM, and of course the video show is available on Rumble, rumble.com/PatRyanOfficial, or you can watch the video show on Odyssey, odyssey.com/@PatRyanOfficial, links in the description below for both the video platforms and the audio platforms. You're going to want to subscribe, do it. And of course, there is the blog. It's My Fellow Patriots. It's patrightofficial.substack.com. Link in the description below. You get every article that I write directly in your inbox, as well as links to listen to every podcast episode in your inbox every Monday morning when a new podcast episode goes live. And yes, my latest gas price analysis is up. The article is like a week late from when I normally release the article. Normally, I have the articles come out for my gas price analysis on the first day of the next month. So the gas price analysis for March is supposed to be out on April 1st. I did not get it out until April 7th. So yesterday, if you're listening to this podcast, on Monday, April 7th, when it goes out. I was quite delayed, very, very busy week, incredibly busy week. And so, yeah, the article was late, but the article is still out. And we're going to talk about that again for the main segment of the show, as well as a big announcement that I put that I have in that article. So stay tuned for that. Again, that'll be for the main segment of the show. Or, of course, you can always go read the article for yourself. Again, patwrightofficial.substack.com, link in the description below. But let's jump into the news of the week. No graphics for this week. This was a pretty busy week, as I mentioned before, busy weekend. And so just had time for regular audio. But let's jump into this. First up, from the Breitbart News, Homeland Security raids Diddy's home in Los Angeles and Miami. Yes, the Homeland Security officials raided the LA home of rapper and music mogul Sean Diddy Combs on Monday. This was this would have been Monday, March 25th, I believe. Yes, Monday, March 25th, in connection to a sex trafficking investigation. Turns out that if these allegations are correct, and it seems like they're correct due to the fact that Diddy has actually, I believe, fled the country, and as far as I understand, is not in police custody, even though he has denied the allegations. The allegations basically would be that Diddy would essentially be another version of Jeffrey Epstein. And according to actually a former bodyguard of Diddy, Diddy has video cameras in every room of his house and has blackmail on politicians, actors, actresses, music stars, preachers, etc. Like, it's a whole ton. It's basically making him another Jeffrey Epstein in terms of being a blackmail operation, a honeypot operation, essentially. Now, this doesn't necessarily seem to be underage children, as Epstein was, but still prostitution and getting people on a whole lot of, blackmail people. Someone, like, let's say a preacher, one of the alleged is TJ Jakes, who is a prosperity gospel preacher. He's a heretic. He's not actually, he's not a believer. He's not really a Christian. He pretends to be a pastor. He's not. But according to reports, he is basically on that blackmail list. And so that's one example. Obviously, there's many, many others, and we don't have the full list of everyone. But yes, the Diddy, although, is not just accused of that, obviously, but he is, as there's allegations that he drugged young women, and actually, an accuser came forward and said that the rap producer Diddy raped her 2 decades ago, back when she was 17. And then a male music producer has accused Diddy of sexually assaulting him and forcing him to have sex with prostitutes. Again, Diddy is obviously denying all these claims, but from the last I understand, Diddy has actually still fled the country, and from what I understand, they don't actually know where he is, but that information may have changed since I have last kept up, because again, this happened 2 weeks ago. For those who aren't aware, obviously there was no podcast episode for the Monday after Easter. I was spending Easter weekend with the family, so no podcast then. So we're covering news from that week as well as this past week. But yes, as far as I understand, Diddy is still not in police custody, but he is obviously denying all of these claims. But let's jump move to the next article from Newsmax. 6 people missing after powerless ship collapses Baltimore Bridge. So yes, the Francis Key Scott Bridge, which is a massive bridge in Baltimore, was hit by a cargo ship, which lost power, and it destroyed it. It plunged the ship or the bridge into the sea. 6 people are missing who were on the bridge. And I believe died. What happened is this was like 1:30 in the morning, and so there was construction crews that were working on the bridge when the ship struck the bridge. Thankfully, though, what happened is the ship lost power, essentially. Couldn't steer at all. But they had the ship, or power in terms of mobility power and power to the engines. And things went absolutely crazy on this ship, systems failing. And the ship's crew was able to issue a mayday call and basically have the authorities to shut down the bridge. So no one would be on it, because if people were on it, obviously there'd be less vehicles on it than like rush hour. But this is still 1 a.m. There's still some vehicles, and this bridge collapsed, and 6 people were on the bridge, trapped, construction crew, and I believe they all died. There's a lot of question on this. Was a massive news story 2 weeks ago. And there's a lot of discussion on X mostly over whether this was a legitimate ship failure, because the ship has had other failures in the past. Some people initially thought this may have been terrorism, like terrorists had hijacked the ship and intentionally crashed the ship. That has basically been ruled out. The other thing is cargo ships are apparently, well, one, they're highly, highly computerized. Computers run everything on these ships. And they're also apparently highly, highly susceptible to cyber attacks and hacking. Like, they don't have good security. And so that, the two prevailing theories, essentially, are that the ship had a freak failure, and it has had in the past. I think that is important to understand, that it has had these failures in the past. The ship just failed. The other theory, which I honestly think is more credible, is that the ship was cyber attacked, and they basically shut down all power systems on this ship, and it hit the bridge and collapsed it. Because this bridge here is like the major waterway, that gets coal, gets vehicles, gets goods from the eastern seaboard. The eastern seaboard and New England area to the rest of the entire country. Like, any goods have to go through. Also, this is a major waterway for troop transport, because the military uses that river to transport troops to different bases and whatnot. Again, not to mention the overall shipping lane that this is. Plus, this is a major way in and out of the city, which that you take down a major highway into a city or into anywhere, connecting a city to any other place, you're going to massively harm the economic system of that city. And this is incredibly, incredibly serious, because they're still pulling the 2 weeks later, they're still finishing pulling the bridge out of the water. And according to the federal government, this could take, there's been estimates that this could take upward of a decade to rebuild this bridge, which is completely, completely ridiculous. And it should not take a decade to build this bridge, but the government is going to do whatever they can to be slow, because they're inefficient as possible. And that is partially what gives further evidence to the fact that this was intentional. I mean, we see ships we see trains crashing, and we haven't had that in a while, but for a while there's trains having catastrophic crashes at a much higher rate than normal. Obviously, we still have ships or airplanes falling out of the sky, or parts falling out of the sky, which is disastrous. There was just one this past Sunday, April 7th. Now we're having ships have issues. And then the next day or 2 days later, while not nearly as catastrophic and didn't cause a bridge to collapse, a cargo ship lost power and hit a bridge in Oklahoma, I believe it was. And it didn't collapse the bridge, but it did cause authorities to close down the bridge so they could repair it. Because it was a hazard. So this is quite serious. And there was just another ship, I believe in New York, either this past Saturday, April 6th, or this past Sunday, April 7th, where a ship, it didn't hit the bridge, but a ship did lose power around the bridge. And thankfully it didn't hit the bridge, but a ship losing power like that is a big ship like that is definitely a risk to hitting the bridge. There's definitely something happening now. And I think it's more than just stories like this are being brought to the forefront of the news cycle, because that does happen. Were people focusing more on train derailments than normal when there were a ton of train derailments happening? Absolutely. People were paying more attention to that. And some people just dismissed and said there wasn't really an increased rate of train crashes and train derailments because it was just a perception because the news was following it closely. Of course, the nuance to that is the fact that while, yes, there hadn't reached a greater than normal statistical average on a yearly basis in terms of train derailments total, but when you look at catastrophic train derailments, there was absolutely an exponential increase in catastrophic train derailments where, like, the entire train or entire train car went off the bridge versus just a single train car having a single wheel come off the bridge, which is much more common to happen. And usually that actually corrects itself compared to a catastrophic derailment, which obviously cannot correct itself. So people... though that could be a potential for there being three ships in 2 weeks in the news cycle having incidences around bridges and having incidences overall. But time will tell as to whether these incidences are just because people are paying attention to them more because it's in the news cycle, or because there is actually something malicious going on. Personally, seeing where things have been heading globally, I think there most definitely is more malicious things occurring. But who knows? That again, that's something that will have time will tell to see what happens. But let's move on to the next article from the Epoch Times, and there's actually three articles from the Epoch Times for this episode, just because that's how things end up working. But Boeing CEO Dave Calhoun to step down alongside other executives. Yes. So obviously with all the issues that Boeing has been having recently, three senior Boeing executives, including the CEO, Dave Calhoun, are stepping down because there are some serious issues. But in a company-wide message on March 25th, Calhoun... spoke about all these incidences that were taking place, such as what happened with the 737-9 MAX with the Alaska Airlines, which was kind of the start of all these incidences happening. But he announced that he is stepping down, I believe, at the end of the next quarter. Or, sorry, 2024 will be his last year, so he'll serve out the rest of this year as the CEO, but then will leave. And then Larry Kilner, who is Boeing's board chairman, he is not going to seek re-election for his position, which is scheduled for actually this month of April. Steve Mullenkopf, I believe is how you pronounce him. He was elected as the new chair, so he will take over officially when Kellner leaves. And then Dan Steele, who's the CEO and president of Boeing Commercial Airplanes, that specific branch of Boeing, is retiring effective actually immediately. And he's going to be replaced by Stephanie Pope, who was the chief operating officer of Boeing since January of 2024. So these are some serious major roles that are leaving the company. And we're going to have to see what happens there. What's interesting is there is a direct competitor to Boeing, and specifically the Boeing 737s, that just got approved for mass production in China. It's a Chinese company. And there is some, when you look at the World Economic Forum and their work with China, and there is some good evidence to suggest that those at the top of Boeing are intentionally allowing these failures at Boeing to occur, so to cause natural distrust in Boeing. And so airlines will be more likely to purchase the Chinese competitor And build up China, because that is, when you look at the fourth industrial revolution, the fourth turning, as some are calling it, involves a crippling of the West and a massive increase and rising of the East, specifically China. Obviously, Russia, India, but mostly China, and obviously the BRICS nations broadly, but specifically China. And so having Boeing, not go under completely, but have Boeing lose or start to lose dominance in the marketplace and have it be gained by a Chinese airline company is extremely concerning, not because Boeing is a great company. Obviously, Boeing is woken into this DEI stuff, and that's probably a factor to all these failures and plane disasters that Boeing has had recently. But they're not China. And having China directly gaining money off of this is not going to be good for the United States economy as a whole, simply because it'll mean China's going to increase in power and we're going to decrease. And that means tyranny is absolutely going to increase an exponential rate, especially if this election, this election year goes as I think it's going to go, at least at the federal level, with Democrats, whether through legitimate means or fraud, probably a bit of both, but mostly fraud, gain more control in Congress, as well as retain the presidency. Because unfortunately, I don't see a path of victory for Trump. He couldn't beat it in 2020. The fraud got worse in 2022, and they will have just perfected the art of stealing elections for this 2024 election. So that's what I see coming. Now, I would love to be surprised. It would be great to be mistaken, but I don't have any confidence. I don't have any confidence in Trump's ability to actually vote, especially because there is even more dislike of Donald Trump since the 2020 election, especially because of his refusal to denounce the COVID jabs, and plus Republicans and Republican voters specifically are just sick of politics, and we are seeing less and less participation as a whole of the Republican voter base. So, yes, there might be millions, tens of millions, even 20, 30, 40 million. Probably not that high. 20 million, let's say 20 million. That's a very, very generous number. I would probably put the hardcore base probably on 10 million, but let's say 20, 25 million hardcore Trump voters. That's not enough to win an election. Independents are broadly sick of Trump. A lot of conservatives are sick of Trump. Again, specifically because of the COVID jabs, and his and the people around him, who he has lifted up, being very vile people towards people who disagree with Trump or disagree with whatever policy position. And again, the average GOP voter is also just. They're just tired of the politics. And again, we're seeing lower voter turnout than normal, and that is not going to be a good thing. I think that'll actually massively help Biden in 2024, simply because you just don't have a lot of Republicans going to the ballot box. I'm not saying it's a good thing, not saying it's a bad thing. I mean, it is a bad thing, but unfortunately, that's where I see things happening. So China rising, I think, will happen a lot more starting now, necessarily, but really ramping up in 2025, especially if Biden or another Democrat maintains the office. But let's move on to the next article from the Epoch Times. This is actually the last article from 2 weeks ago. FTX founder Sam Bankman-Fried sentenced to 25 years in prison for fraud. So there was actually surprisingly a good verdict. And this, now obviously this will go through the appeals process, and that sentence may be reduced. Hopefully not, but a federal judge on March 28th sentenced FTX founder Sam Bankman-Fried to 25 years in prison for defrauding investors of $8 billion via the fallen cryptocurrency exchange company. Yes, this was done by U.S. District Judge Lewis Kaplan. He handed down the sentence in the Manhattan court hearing, and this is very, very good. Of course, Bankman-Fried was kind of the fall guy in terms of this was moving a lot of money illegally into the Democratic Party for elections, and definitely illegally doing this, and none of that money is being refunded. The Democratic Party is not being charged with not reporting this fraud, which they are legally obligated to do so, but yes, so he has, he's been sentenced to 25 years in prison, as well as ordering a forfeiture of $11.2 billion. But he couldn't order restitution of that money because it would be quote unquote impractical because of the amount of victims. Of course, I don't know what does the government gets that $11.2 billion? That doesn't seem right. I mean, it's probably right as an accurate that as in that's what's going to happen, but it's not right morally. This is a good thing. We actually have some good news coming from a court system, which is not very common to happen. So hey, we'll take it. But moving on, we got actually some more bad news, but this is finally getting news from this week. This week overall was a fairly slow news week. I mean, there's always stuff going on, but in terms of big, important news that I think matters to people, this was not a major news week. But again, last article from the Epoch Times, major egg producer detects bird flu, must kill nearly 2 million chickens. Yes, Calmaine Foods said on April 2nd that it was depopulating 1.6 million laying eggs and 337,000 pullets, which totals, which is actually only about 3.6% of its flock, but still, that's roughly 2 million birds that are being culled because of a detection of H1N5 avian influenza at their facility in Palmer County, Texas. Yes. So this is a lot. It'll be very, very interesting to see. I mean, this is obviously going to affect the price of eggs for a long time, but it'll be interesting to see because the media is now trying to push this avian flu, H1N5, as possibly being like the next COVID. And so far, there's no evidence to make that claim that H1N5, unless obviously being used for gain-of-function research, will jump from birds to humans. But yes, so obviously the main thing is that right now, the price of meat, but specifically the price of eggs, is going to increase for a little bit. And now we'll have to see what happens or how long this happens, but it'll be a while before Calmaine can actually regain this, these 2 million birds, because you just can't like magically produce 2 million chicks and have them develop into hens, and meat birds. That's not how this works. It could take years, for them to get back to where they were. Now, of course, this was only 3.6% of their population, total population, so not overall a lot, but still will have a effect, even in a few cents increase in eggs in the market, and probably an increase in price for chicken meat for a little bit. But again, this will probably... it probably won't have as big of an effect as it could have if there was even more. But let's move on to the last article of the week before we get to the main segment of the show. From CNBC, Fed Governor Bowman says additional rate hikes could be needed if inflation stays high. Yes. So the Federal Reserve Governor Michelle Bowman said on Friday, April 5th, that it's possible that interest rates may have to move higher to control inflation, which ironically is actually causing more inflation. This is destructive to the economy in a million ways, and I think these people cannot be stupid. Yes, I know a lot of these people vocally subscribe to modern monetary theory. I think in reality, these people realize that modern monetary theory is stupid and doesn't actually work. I think they recognize. I think they recognize and are intentionally doing what they can to perceive to be making decisions that are best for the economy, when in reality, any economist will say that this, in the long term, is incredibly dangerous to the economy and is going to have massive negative effects and ramifications down the road. And down the road in not a very long time, especially as this could cause more banks to go under. Obviously, we haven't had banks go under in, it's been about a year, I think, maybe a little bit less, but again, you start messing with rate hikes, and it doesn't just affect the banks. It affects those who are trying to pay back mortgages and loans broadly. It affects people's ability to buy houses, get new cars, whether the cars are new or just used cars, and a loan is needed to be taken out. This is going to have massive effects on the economy, as it has always had, whenever the government and the Federal Reserve has decided to mess with interest rates. But let's jump into the news, or not the news of the week, the main segment of the show, and obviously covering my gas price analysis for the month of May 2024. So let's jump into this now. National average gas and diesel prices for March 2024. Tracking the Great Reset through gas prices. My fellow patriots, as with February, March saw some significant gas price increases. The national average gas prices for March opened up at $3.331 per gallon, and they increased for 7 days to $3.4 per gallon on March 8th. On March 9th, the price decreased to $3.397 per gallon, and the price decreased the following day to $3.394 per gallon. The price then increased back to $3.397 per gallon, and then back to $3.394 per gallon for the next 2 days. On March 13th, the national average gas price increased to $3.396 per gallon, and the increase continued for 10 days to $3.534 per gallon on March 23rd. On the 24th, prices decreased to $3.533 per gallon, then back to $3.534 per gallon the following day. Prices decreased on the 26th to $3.533 per gallon, before rising to $3.535 per gallon the following day, and again rising to $3.538 per gallon on March 28th. On March 29th, gas prices fell to $3.537 per gallon, and they continued to decrease for the rest of the month to close March at $3.535 per gallon. All data is from AAA. And of course, as usual, the chart is there in the article, so you can easily see for yourself and physically see where gas prices were, because sometimes that's a lot easier than trying to process what this article has written. But back to the article. The national average diesel prices for March opened up at $4.065 per gallon and then decreased for 3 days to $4.050 per gallon on March 4th. On the 5th, prices rose to $4.055 per gallon and then to $4.059 per gallon the following day. On March 6th, diesel prices increased to... on March 7th, diesel prices increased to $4.058 per gallon, and the decrease continued for 4 days to $4.033 per gallon on March 11th. On March 12th, prices rose to $4.036 per gallon and then to $4.039 per gallon on March 13th. On March 14th, prices decreased to $4.037 per gallon and to $3.035 per gallon on the 15th. The following day, the national average diesel price rose to $4.037 per gallon before decreasing back to $4.035 per gallon on March 17th, and then even lower to $4.027 per gallon on the 18th. On March 19th, diesel prices rose to $4.040 per gallon, and the increase continued for 3 days to $4.061 per gallon on March 22nd. On the 23rd, prices decreased to $4.0604 per gallon, and the decrease continued for 2 days to $4.042 per gallon. On March 26th, prices rose to $4.050 per gallon, and then to $4.051 per gallon the next day. On the 28th, prices fell to $4.047 per gallon, and they continued to fall through the rest of the month to end March at $4.031 per gallon. And again, the chart is available on my Substack. It's the pinned article, patredofficial.substack.com. It's right there so you, to view for yourself, because again, that is confusing, confusing for me to write and to read. Probably even more confusing for you to listen. But again, the chart is right there. But back to the article. As can be seen, there was a major discrepancy between the prices of gasoline compared to diesel, where gasoline had a net increase of over 3 cents, while diesel had a net loss of over 3 cents. Clearly, the increases and decreases were not because of the price of crude oil, or both types of fuel would have been affected in the same direction. Therefore, there had to be a change in the consumption of each type of fuel. Now, since March is when schools are on spring break, it would make sense that people are going to consume more gasoline and purchase less goods, therefore consuming less diesel, which would explain why gasoline prices rose while diesel fell. Even though I'm releasing this article a week later than I normally would, I'm not going to mention any effects in the fuel market which have occurred in April so far. All I will say is that April is likely to be a very interesting month with significant fuel price hikes. On the topic of the month of April, I would like to announce that the gas price analysis for April 2024 will be my final monthly analysis. The time it takes to research and write each article is not worth the return that it brings. These articles do not bring in new eyes to my Substack, so there are no gains for me. I hope you all will understand my reasoning for discontinuing these monthly articles. Although the monthly articles will end, I will continue to daily post the national average fuel prices on social media because those do benefit people. Now, if these articles do start to pick up viewers between this month and next month, I might consider continuing the monthly analysis. But without any increase in my audience, I am simply wasting my time, which I do not have a lot of. So yes, the big announcement is that this month, April, will be the last month that there is a gas price analysis article for. So the article that will come out or should come out on May 1st for April will be the last article of this kind, unless something major happens, and then I might write a one-off article for that. And again, my reasoning is simply these articles do not, I mean, they do about as well as any other article, which isn't necessarily great. I don't have a massive Substack audience at all. I don't even have 100 subscribers, which is fine. But I'm not bringing in new eyes either with my articles. Like, there's not just people sharing these articles and allowing their own audience to see these. And so at this point, it takes time. It takes about an hour and a half to 2 hours to take the gas prices, put them into a graph, to make the chart, and then to write the article and to research the article. All this takes about 2 hours, and it's not something that can be done really over the course of the month. Not practically. Obviously, like, I collect news articles if there's a major news article affecting the fuel market for the month. But I don't that's other than that, most of the research happens and the writing of it, and which takes the bulk of the time, just happens either on the 31st or the 1st of the month, or the 30th, whatever the last day of the month is, or the 1st of the next month. And again, I'm not seeing a return. I'm not seeing a turn of on investment, because this is the time that I'm investing, and I'm not seeing that back. Which again, I'm not mad. I'm not obviously not mad at the audience. If the audience doesn't want it, I can't force the audience to read my stuff. But I also don't have to waste my time writing articles that no one is reading, or not enough people are reading and finding helpful. So that will be my big announcement. And obviously, anyone on social media, Gab, Getter, Clout Hub, Truth Social, Frank Social, etc. If you're listening to this podcast, or you already read my article, you got the announcement. But for those who don't, I'll be posting something actually today, Monday, April 8th, just saying, hey, this is what's going on. And so people can be aware if they don't read the article. Because if I compare who actually daily follows, reposts, likes, and interacts with my daily gas updates, there is a significant difference in numbers between that and who reads my articles, with way more people interacting with my daily posts than reading the articles themselves. So that's how they're more likely to figure out this. But yes, April, I think, is going to be a very, very interesting month, because it already has been an interesting month in the 7-ish days that has been going on. And some geopolitical things. Brent crude oil hit over $90 a barrel for the first time in nearly 2 years. Iran seems very likely to attack Israel soon, which is going to cause massive price increases. And so things are going to get really interesting, not to mention Biden administration announced that they will not be continuing on their plan to refill or partially refill the Strategic Petroleum Reserve, which, if the U.S. gets involved in either a war with China over Taiwan, or a war with Russia over Ukraine, or a war with any of the Middle East over Israel, we're going to see massive price increases, because they're going to be draining from the Strategic Petroleum Reserve, which will be bad from a defensive an overall security perspective, but also causing fuel prices to increase due to a lack of ability to subsidize them, especially since this administration is not refilling the Strategic Petroleum Reserve, nor are they increasing domestic production, which is probably the bigger worry. And the bigger negative effect on the prices of fuel, both gasoline and diesel. But yes, so there are some very, very interesting things going to be happening, I think, in April. And obviously, things should change. Things are so unpredictable that I predict stuff sometimes, and sometimes it happens, sometimes it doesn't happen. Things are absolutely crazy in this world. We kind of got to get used to it. Anyway, guys, I hope you enjoyed this podcast. If you did, please follow my podcast I've seen and share with your friends and family. You can also find me on social media at Gab, Cloud Hub, Getter, and Frank Social at Pat Wright Official, and on Truth Social at Pat Wright _official. I will see you guys next week. God bless.